So let's start this week by asking a question. Would you consider yourself a powerful person? Or let me ask it this way. Do you think of yourself as someone who has a lot of influence over other people? My guess is most of us would probably say no. Like, we think of powerful people as men and women who lead Fortune 500 companies, or are the heads of banks, or who are politicians and are making policy decisions for literally millions of people. Or maybe we think about sports figures or celebrities or anyone who seems to have a lot of influence over a lot of other people. We think these people are strong and direct, persuasive, dominant, and compelling. And we typically don't think of ourselves that way. But the truth is, you are a powerful person. All of us are. I mean, every single one of us exercises some power or influence over other people. And it may be a professional position that you hold or a relational one. I mean, maybe you hold a position at your job where you lead one, two, or a team of people. I mean, you could have a seat on your homeowner's board in your neighborhood. You could be a parent who holds power and influence over your children. I mean, maybe you have relational influence or power with your friends, your coworkers, your kids' friends, or their parents. Everyone has influence with someone. And because everyone has influence, everyone has power. And so the real question isn't, do you have power? The better question is this: what are you doing with the power that you have? Now, this may not be a question you've ever asked yourself before, but it's an important one to consider as we continue to talk and process through how to live a better story. Because how we choose to use the power we have, it plays a huge role in experiencing the full, abundant, and better life that Jesus promised. But most of us, we aren't very good at using the power we have. I mean, don't take it personally. And it's not just you. The truth is, very few people in history have been great at using the power that they have. I mean, the odds are against all of us. We've all heard about the danger of power and how it tends to corrupt even the best of us. Abraham Lincoln, he famously said it this way: "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." I mean, isn't this true? I mean, it's not hard to find stories of people who've used power for their own personal benefit, who've leveraged their power and held it over other people, or have used it in some way to be served by other people. I mean, think about it. Have you ever used your position of power to make yourself look better than you really are? Or have you used it for your own financial gain? Or maybe you've used relational power to inflate your ego and to make yourself feel superior to someone else. Or maybe in your marriage, you've used your power to get your way or to make your spouse feel small. I mean, there are a million small ways all of us can misuse our power and influence. The temptation is real and the temptation is constant. And the problem is, there's just so much more on the line than just making some poor choices with how we use our power. An abuse of power can even lead to broken hearts and damaged relationships. And if any of us have done that, or if we've seen it done, something in us knows that it just doesn't feel right. When you see someone leveraging their power for their benefit and using it only for themselves, it bothers us. And I think it's because deep down, I mean, maybe even on a spiritual level, we all know we were made to do more with our power. Our power wasn't just meant for our benefit. But what do we do with the power that we have? I mean, even if it's only a little power, only a little influence, I mean, what exactly are we supposed to do with it? I mean, how do we use it for good instead of being used by it? While the problem of power is a big one, it certainly isn't a new one. I mean, from the time humans discovered they could use their power to benefit them, they did it. I mean, it's almost commonplace. It's almost expected that anyone with power will use it for themselves. And the same was true in the ancient world. And that's what makes the passage we're looking at today so remarkable. Because today we're looking at one of the four accounts of Jesus' life on earth. This one is called the Gospel of John. And in it, Jesus' friend John remembers the night Jesus was arrested and the day before he was crucified. It was also the start of a Jewish feast, the Passover. And Jesus and his 12 closest friends were gathered in an upper room of someone's house to share a ceremonial meal together. And it was something that families all over Jerusalem would have been doing. And right before it was time to share what would be the last meal before his death, Jesus did something that shocked everyone. But before we read about exactly what Jesus did, John gives us insight and clarity around why it was so revolutionary. So let's start in John chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Now, essentially, John stated that Jesus is the most powerful person in the universe. He said that all things are under his power and all things are under his control. And Jesus knew it. Jesus was fully aware of that reality, that there was no confusion on Jesus' part over who he is and what he was capable of. He knew that he could literally do anything at any time. But more than that, Jesus also knew the tables were about to turn, that soldiers were about to arrest him in just a few hours, and that he would be beaten, humiliated, mocked, crucified, and killed. I mean, he was the most powerful person in the world, but he was about to die. So what did Jesus do with all the power he knew was at his disposal in his final hours before his death? Look at what John says Jesus did. He got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, I think it's almost impossible to fully understand what it must have been like for Jesus' friends in that moment. I mean, no one expected this at all. I mean, see, feet in the first century were disgusting. I mean, there was no paved roads, and animals traveled those same unpaved roads. So you can imagine what people's feet looked like and smelled like after a day of walking around in the dust, in the dirt, and in the mud. I mean, I bet no one wanted the job of cleaning the feet of guests as they entered the house. It was a job no one, absolutely no one wanted, but someone had to do it. And no one expected the Son of God to take on the job. But Jesus, their rabbi, their teacher, the owner of all the power in the world, did. He washed his friends' filthy feet. Jesus sat in the highest position of all, and no one would have blamed him if he used that position to his advantage, to get what he wanted, to be served, to escape his certain death, to take advantage of the following that he had. But he didn't do any of those things. Instead, he stood up from the table, he picked up a towel, filled a bowl with water, and lowered himself to the ground. And then God himself took in his hands the dirty feet of his friends, and he began to wash. Jesus chose to do the job that was considered beneath his position. He served, he loved, he gave away the power that was his to wield. He shocked his disciples because that's not what any other powerful leader they ever knew had done. I mean, not even close. And then he told his disciples, and he tells us, to go and do the same. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Now, while washing feet was the most visible thing Jesus was doing, the real lesson lay underneath. What Jesus was doing at the deepest level was showing his disciples and the world how to use power for maximum impact. You use it to serve others. I mean, Jesus showed us that the greatest way to use our power is by loving and serving those around us, because he knew that's how we'd live a better story. Like, instead of leaving broken hearts and broken relationships in the wake of our power, we can leverage our power to build others up and take care of their needs. And that's a better story for us and for everyone around us. But the truth is, everyone has power. Each one of us has influence with someone. We have control somewhere. We have authority with someone. And if that's the case, what if the real purpose of the power God has given you wasn't simply to benefit you? What if the ultimate use of that power comes in using it to love and serve those people? Like, we may not hold powerful positions, but every day we interact with people, we have influence in and over. And every day we get to decide if we will use that influence to benefit ourselves or the other people. All of us have the ability to set aside our pride, our dignity, our ego, and what it feels like our rights to serve the people who are around us. Like, when God gives you power or influence, He has given you the opportunity to fill up what is lacking in someone else. I mean, just think about it. A genuine compliment to a coworker can fill up their encouragement tank, and paying undivided attention to your child can help fill up their noticed tank. Taking on extra housework can fill up your spouse's appreciated tank. Listen, out of the power that God has given you, you can spill out goodness to all the people in your life that you have influence with. And the best part about this is when we use our power to serve, the effect of that power is limitless. It changes people's lives. Power given away through serving is how we can leverage our life to make the most difference and have the most satisfaction. It made a huge difference in the lives of the men who got their feet washed by their leader. They went from being scared and afraid to carrying the message of Jesus to the world and changing history in the process. During this series, we've been talking about the story of our lives and how Jesus promises to make that story more rich and more full and more satisfying, ultimately a better story. And He's inviting you to step into that better story by using your power to make a difference for someone else. Don't discount yourself because your power doesn't feel world-changing. I mean, some of our greatest impact can come from our smallest acts. You don't have to go out and try to solve world hunger. Just try to change the world for just one person. Maybe even start with changing that person's day for the better. And the beautiful thing about leveraging your power to serve others is that it can give you a tremendous sense of satisfaction, fullness, and abundance. I mean, serving others feels incredible. It's just like Jesus to bless us with power and then to turn around and bless us again when we give it away. God has set life up so that when you leverage your power to serve others, it creates not only a better story for everyone, it also creates a better story for you. So what power has God given you? How can you humble yourself to serve others this week? And the more you do it, the more you'll experience the better life Jesus promised, and others around you, they will too. The ultimate use of power isn't to get people to serve you. It's for you, in love, to serve people. That writes a better story. A better story for your own life and a better story for those around you. So remember, with the power God has given you, He is inviting you to write a better story.